You are listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast for Sunday evening, November 25th. Dr. Mike Wells preaches a message entitled, Now, What Can I Do?
Take your Bible, go back, if you will, and let's look at the scriptures one more time. Luke chapter 5, verses 2 through 4, where the Bible says, And I saw two ships standing by the lake, and the fishermen were going out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And I want to speak tonight on now, what can I do? Now, what can I do? I used to take a lot of different ones. I think the most I've ever taken on a trip at one time was 22. Most of those were preachers and preachers' wives that came from around the nation. And we went to do a soul-winning leadership conference. And one of the preachers asked me this, Brother Wells, we have sacrificed and we have paid our own ticket. We have paid for our hotel, and would it be a possibility that we could do maybe just a little bit of sightseeing on the way home? And I said, well, we could go by the National Cemetery that's over in Manila, and I could take you to a place where you can buy some inexpensive goods, some trinkets and whatnot, if you want to go there. And they said, oh, yeah, we really like that. And so we went by the National Cemetery that was in Manila, and we began to look out over the 16,000 graves that was in that place. And I came home from that trip, and I looked at it just a little bit different than perhaps I've ever looked at it before. And I began to evaluate about wars. And I was just curious, how many wars have we had? They say that we average 2.6 wars every year. During the time that Caesar had a war, it cost 75 cents to kill one enemy soldier. When Napoleon had a war, it cost $3,000 to kill one enemy soldier. During the Civil War, there was 500,000 American lives that were lost. And by the way, Dwight Talmadge met with the leaders that was on both sides of that war. He told them there's a Bible answer for this. And if you obey what the Bible says, there's not one person would have to shed their blood. And there was a great conflict over that. And they dismissed him and they went to war. During World War I, it cost $21,000 per enemy soldier to kill. World War II, $200,000 to kill one enemy soldier. Vietnam, $650,000 to kill one enemy soldier. In our present day, it costs $1.2 million to kill one enemy soldier. When I began to look at that, I thought, what would it be like to have a church where you're the pastor and somebody comes up to you and say, now, Brother Wells, I realize that you have a burden for the world. You like to see the world receive Christ, and I like to expedite that just a little bit with the small fractional amount that I could do. And so here's a check for $1.2 million. And that $1.2 million I'm giving you to be able to send teams. I'm giving you to be able to train soul winners. I'm giving you to be able to start independent Baptist churches wherever you feel led. But I'm giving you that for the cause of the gospel and for the sake of Jesus Christ. I wonder how much we could do with that. I doubt very seriously tonight if anybody in this room is going to come up to me tonight and write me a check for $1.2 million. And if you did, it would bounce. But I'm saying tonight that God can use what you have. You say, well, my little bit doesn't count. But if you take a little bit and you add it to a little bit and you add it to a little bit more and you add it to a little bit more and you add it to a little bit more, you're coming up with a whole lot. So if a person decides that they would do their little bit, that's how come I've said very expressively so over the past couple of times that I preached, that your children need to learn the significance and the importance of they themselves giving to missions. They need to learn as a teenager the importance of tithing and giving, because in so doing, that's the only way that God is going to be able to bless them in a financial way. I remember teaching on finances in this church, and we taught the envelope system, where you have an envelope and you put the first thing that you do when you get your paycheck, if you're not used to tithing, being right with God, and you have to have that extra help, or you're not used to doing a budget, and then the very first thing you do is you keep God first. You have an envelope system, and on the outside of that envelope system, you write the word tithe. You go cash your check and you bring back the amount that you owe God that is the tithe, and you put it in that one envelope that's called tithe. You have another envelope that's called missions or offering, and you put that in there. You have an envelope for your electric bill. You have an envelope for your water bill. You have an envelope for your house note. You have an envelope for your car note, and you have different envelopes. We call it the envelope system. So that you'd be able to, once you put that money in that envelope, then it's not yours to spend. I think sometimes we rob God because we spend his money in the way that we want, because we do not have the character to be able to put it aside, because we don't have a system to put it aside. And may I say that when you develop a love for Jesus Christ and a love for the gospel, you're going to try to do your very best to be able to make sure that that word of God is propelled around the world. Because may I remind you tonight, it's not the personality that changes the world, it is the gospel of Jesus Christ. So let's examine this tonight when it comes to the life of Peter tonight. Take your Bible, let's go back and let's look at Luke chapter 5 and verse 2, where the Bible says, "And I saw two ships standing by the lake, and the fishermen were going out of them and were washing their nets." Now, you understand this, that these men that were out at the lake had decided that the job was done. How many times in Christianity do we find people that used to be but are no more? How many times do we find people that say that I've rendered my service for Christ, I've done my duty, I performed the task, and now it's time for me to take a break? But yet there's nowhere in the Bible that you'll find evidence, any principles that's ever laid down about taking a break. Here's what you find, where the Bible says that there was two ships and they were standing by the lake. These ships could represent churches. The ones that are on the ships that are captains of the ships could represent pastors. Those that are the workers in the ships could certainly represent the membership in any given church anywhere in the world. And here's what you find about these ships. The Bible says, "I saw two ships standing by the lake." They thought that their task had been completed. The fishermen were already gone out of them and they were washing their nets. The Bible does not say that they were mending their nets. So you understand, just by token of the fact that they were washing their nets and not mending their nets, that they were unsuccessful in their fishing journey. You understand that here they are, they're just washing their nets, and so they caught nothing that night. You can get all that out of that one verse. And so they thought that their work was complete. They thought, well, and by the way, let me help you a little bit. Parkside Baptist Church, as we're growing, if you're not careful, you'll believe the devil's lie. And the devil's lie, I believe, that would sell you a bit of goods at Parkside Baptist Church is, we're growing, and so you're not important. May I say, every member of Parkside Baptist Church is important to God. Don't you be fooled by the devil to say, well, you know, I've served my time, and it's not about serving your time. You know, it's not about how many work in Sunday school, and it's not about how many work on a bus route. May I say, the bus route might not need you as much as you need the bus route. The Sunday school class might not need you as much as you need the Sunday school class. Are you listening to me? You understand that there needs to be a responsibility that causes you to perform the task that God has for you. The task that was here with these men is that they were going to come out of the lake. I think they came out of the lake a little bit prematurely, but they came out of the lake. They caught nothing. They're on the side of the lake. They're discouraged. They're washing their nets. They have actually given up. They've actually quit. And by the way, before you quit on the outside, you'll always quit on the inside. Before you lose your zeal and your purpose and your definition of life on the outside, before people can tell that you're down, before people can tell that you're discouraged, before people can tell that you're upset on the outside, you'll become upset on the inside. But here's what we see. These people thought that their job was completed. Statement number one. Statement number two. God always starts with just a little, especially when we're in reverse. You know, a person that was backslidden, all of a sudden they get right with God. Anybody that's a leader knows this. You take them slow. You have to take them slow. Because if you put everything on them that they once had on them, they're not able to handle it because they're used to handling things according to the flesh and not according to the Spirit of God, and you'll break them. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says in verse 3, and he entered into one of the ships. Now this is Simon, which was called Simon's ship. And so Jesus is entering into one of the ships, which is called Simon's ship. So here Jesus says he's entering into one of the ships, which is Simon's, and he prayed. That means he's asking him to do something earnestly. And he prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the people out of the ship. So here's what happens. First, you'll see that these people had given up. These people have taken their ship out of the lake. These people had caught nothing. These people are looking at themselves with self-pity that is surrounding their heart. And they're saying, well, we might as well give up because after all, look how unsuccessful we have really been. And so they pull their ships out of the water in disgust and disgrace. They're sitting on the side of the lake. They're washing their nets. They caught nothing all night long. They're not mending their nets. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes along and he approaches one of them that is the captain of one of the ships. And he says, I want you to get in that ship and I want you to launch out just a little bit. And by the way, Jesus will always encourage you just to do a little bit more. And you ought to be growing in your faith and your prayer life and your Bible reading and your diligence in serving Christ, and your character ought to be growing every single week and every single month and year by just doing a little bit more for Jesus Christ. So he says, I want you to launch out just a little. Notice, if you will, the Bible says in verse 4, the Bible says, and when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let your nets, that's plural, let your nets, it says, for a draught. So he says to let down your nets for a draught. So here's what he says. He says, as he's coming by, he sees that Simon is over there. He's outside of the lake. He's not in the lake where a fisherman should be. He'd given up. They'd fished all night. They had caught nothing whatsoever. They're discouraged. They're washing their nets. They're not mending their nets. They had caught nothing whatsoever. And now all of a sudden Jesus comes along and Jesus says, Simon, get back in your ship. And may I say, if you're sitting here discouraged tonight and you're not in the ship that God has that is the will of God for your life, may I encourage you tonight in a very strong fashion, you get back in your ship. You say, I used to be a soul winner, but I'm not anymore. You get back in your ship. Well, I used to be a preacher, but I've lost my zeal about preaching. Then you get back in your ship. Well, I've lost my desire to be faithful to church and to obey the ordinances of God. Then you get back in your ship tonight. You don't be somebody that pulls your ship out of that which is the will of God. Somebody's watching your ship tonight. You've got a son. You've got a daughter. You can't expect your son or your daughter to be more faithful to the things of God that you're not faithful to. You can offer every excuse you want to, but I'm telling you tonight, God knows who we are, and God wants us to be faithful to the cause of Christ. Put your ship back in the water and let God use that ship again. That's what God wants us to do. But watch this tonight, if you will. The Bible says he entered one of the ships, which is Simon's, and he said, thrust out a little in verse 3. In verse 4, after Simon had thrust out a little, the Bible says that our Lord talks to him and says, launch out into the deep. Now, by the way, that's according to your faith. I would rather have somebody launch out a little than somebody that doesn't launch out at all. For it would be far better for somebody to do a little than nothing at all. We tell new people in our church, hey, try it. Come out soul winning sometime. They say, well, I don't know anything about soul winning. We'll launch out just a little. Let somebody take you. Let somebody train you. Let somebody help you. We tell new people that's been saved in our church, hey, get in that adult discipleship program. Launch out just a little. Start coming to a Sunday night service. Launch out just a little. Boy, I'm so proud of Tim and Angie sitting back here. They came to a big day, invitation of Mrs. Polly Wathickle, and I think it was Brother Wislowski, if I remember correctly, went by the house, sat down around the table, led Tim and Angie to Christ. They came to church, walked down the aisle, got baptized. I went by with, I think it was Brother Craig. Is that right? Where are you at, Brother Craig? Wave at me. That way I know that you're here. There you are. And I went by with Brother Craig. We sit down. We sign them up for discipleship training on Sunday night. And boy, they're coming in for discipleship training and growing by leaps and bounds. And by the way, that's what it takes. You just do a little bit more. And just a little bit more. And before you know it, you look back and say, wow, I can't believe I've grown that much. I can't believe that I've learned that much of the Word of God. I can't believe that God has grown my faith that much. Now, I say that's exactly what God wants to do in all of our lives. But there is some people that used to be that are no more. And I'm telling you tonight, what God wants for that one that used to be but is no more is to you to get back to doing what you know good and well that God wants you to do. Nobody ought to have to try and prime your pump. Nobody ought to have to try and pacify you. You're a mature believer. You've been saved by the grace of God. Nobody ought to have to come and say, would you please? Hey, that's for infant Christianity. But no, hey, you say that you're not an infant. Well, then, hey, come soul winning and be the right example and be the right type of person. Hey, put your ship back in the lake. Here's what it talks about. Verse 4, the Bible says, and he left off speaking, so he quit speaking. And then he says on to Simon now, he said, now that he has left speaking, he said unto Simon, he said, launch out into the deep and let your nets, plural, down for a draught. He said, Simon, you've launched out just a little bit. By the way, when you come soul winning, you've heard me say this. We have a soul winning meeting, the big soul winning meeting. By the way, we're averaging right now about 200 people going out soul winning every week, not counting anybody twice. Now, that's a blessing. I said, that's a blessing. But now, wait a minute. Watch this, if you will. And so, here's a new person says, well, I tell you what, you know, I want to go out soul winning, but I can't stay out long. Okay, it's better to go for 30 minutes than not at all. Well, I can't stay out long, preacher. Who's asking you to? It's better to go 45 minutes than not at all. Do you realize if everybody in this room just went for 30 minutes, what great accomplishments we would have together. Now, thank God for those that go out an hour, and thank God for those that go out 2 hours, and thank God for those that go out 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 and 8 and 10. That's wonderful. But I'm saying you got to start somewhere. You know, you take that little step, that little step, that little increase, that little marginal move, and you just keep moving a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. And when you look back at the end of 1 year's time, when you look back at the end of 10 years' time, you'll be amazed at how far you came in serving Jesus Christ. May I say, here's what the Bible says. After he had launched out just a little from the shore, the Lord said to him, now here's what I want you to do. Go out into the deep. By the way, you listen to me. If you stay in shallow water all the time, you only catch the small ones. You catch the minnows. You catch the small ones. But if you want to catch something bigger, you got to go into the deep. If you want to catch something more valuable, you know those minnows are not very valuable. They don't have much meat on them. You can't get a comb out of a minnow. The bone comb out of the minnow. Can't do it. You can't be able to shape that bone and get anything that is worth anything materially out of a minnow. But you go out into the deep and you catch the big ones. Now you got big bones. Now for those of you that have the extra hair, you can get a bigger comb. Now for those of you that want to take and have extra oil for your skin, you can get the extra oil with just one catch. Now, for those of you that need extra oil in your digestive system, you can get that just from one catch. Now, for those of you that collect the eyeballs of fish, you can have big eyeballs. I'm saying tonight that there's great value in launching out. Here's what it says. The Bible says that he comes to the ships. They've taken out of the lake. The fishermen are washing their nets. They've not caught anything. They're not mending their nets. He exhorts Simon to get back into his ship. And he said, you get back in there. Let's go out. Let's go together. We're going to be able to do it together. Let's launch out just a little bit. Once he launches out just a little bit, the Lord says to Simon, now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go deeper. I want you to get out there farther. Hey, it's great to get involved in faith promise giving just a little bit. But as you see that God does not let you down. And may I say tonight, God does not let you down. And as you see tonight that God does not let you down, then you ought to have the faith to go out deeper. And then have the faith to go out deeper. And God will bless your faith. God will give more through you than God will give to you. But you get the benefits of all the things that God does through you. And you get the overnet of that which God will give through you. Watch this, if you will. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says in verse 5. The Bible says, and Simon answering and said, Master, we have toiled all night. You don't think the Lord knew that? Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Well, first off, that's not the word. The word that the Lord said was nets. He said, I want you to launch out into the deep and I want you to work a little bit harder. He said, I want you to let down the nets. Simon said, well, Lord, at your word, I'll be willing. He's half-hearted. Because he's half-hearted, he's not going to get all the blessing. Because he's half-hearted, nobody's going to be able to stand by with amazement and say that was God. Because he's half-hearted, those that are with him is going to see the end result, if you will, please, of somebody that did not obey completely. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, go out there and let down your nets. And Simon says, Master, we've toiled all night and caught anything, but at thy word, he's a discouraged man. He says, I don't know if I can trust you fully. I don't know if I can do exactly what you want me to do. Come on now. Almost like the Lord that looked at the disciples one day and he said, will you also go away? You know, he was so used to people just going away. He just looked at him and said, will you also go away? Now, may I say, here's what the Lord says. The Lord says, Simon, go out there. Just thrust out a little bit. Just thrust out a little bit. Just thrust out a little bit. Then when you get out there, that's when he says, hey, you can do it. If you get out there and you launch into the deep, I'm with you all the way. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm beside you. And he said, if you'll launch out into the deep and let your nets down, Simon, put your nets out, Simon, get your nets out there. Why? Because to the degree that you take your faith and exercise it in obedience, I will fill your nets. Watch what it says. Verse 6, the Bible says, and when they have done, it says, had this done. Says they enclosed a great multitude of fishes that their net singular break. See, God wants to bless you more than what you can handle. But yet God says, I'm going to tell you what to do, listen to me now, in preparation for the handling. But if you don't do what I tell you in order to prepare for the blessing that I have for you because of your obedience, then there's going to be an overflow that you're going to miss. You're not going to get it all. Hello? So here's what he says. He said, man, he said, here's what I did, Lord. I went out there and I let down the net. The Bible says that, can you imagine in that lake that day? Can you imagine by the way, they didn't have any bait that was on the hook. God was just sending fish in. You don't see that Simon is promising the fish anything. If you get in my net, I promise you. No. Simon was just obedient to God. And God said, Simon, if you'll be obedient to me, I'll make sure that your nets are filled. And see, I really believe this with all my heart. I really believe that God wants to give you more blessing than what you have. But because you don't do what he says, God says, I can't do it. I'm sorry. You're not prepared for it, so I can't give it to you. See, we have a choice tonight. Stand up, Brother Jonathan, if you will. Brother Palmore, if you'll come stand beside him and face that way, shoulder to shoulder, facing that direction. Brother Jonathan, facing that direction. He's younger, I have to tell him twice. Back up, if you will. Five steps. Here we go. Watch this. Here's somebody that is younger in their faith than a person that is older than their faith. Now, God says, here's what I want both of you to do. I want you to just thrust out a little bit, small step. That's easy. You know, a young believer can do that. Somebody that's a novice that just comes to church, anybody can do that. All right, now wait a minute, though. But when God says, here's what I want you to do, now I want you to thrust out into the deep. There are those that say, look, I've been taking these little steps all my life. And I just take a little step each year, all my life. Just a little step each year, all my life. Then when God says, hey, I want you to launch out in deep, taking a big step is no big deal. No big deal whatsoever. Okay, come back. Watch this. Okay, same thing with prayer. They pray a little prayer. God answers a little step. I say, oh, wow, that's neat. They pray another prayer, little prayer. God answers just a little bit. Well, that's neat. Where the answer to prayer stops is where your faith stops. Now, wait a minute, watch this. Before you can get bigger steps, you've got to learn to take the little steps. Hello? Kid comes to Lone Star Baptist College, comes from a different church. First off, we don't know you. For all we know, as you take a big step, you're going to fall flat on your face. So what do? We teach you to take a little step. If you can be obedient and taking a little step, and we watch you take little steps, eventually you'll earn the right to get a big step. But until you can prove yourself faithful in taking little steps, we can't trust you with a big step. Because we don't know. You may fall flat on your face. We would rather you take a little step and grow into it than to launch out trying to take a bigger step and it takes five people to rescue you because you're drowning. So what do? We give you little steps to take. We say, do this, handle this. If you can, by the way, that is Bible. I said that is Bible. So what do? We give you little incremental steps to say, hey, come on. We don't say, hey, sir, hey, you got saved last week? Ho! And then the same week, God called you to preach. Ho! I want you to get up and on Sunday morning, preach. What are we going to do? Ho! So what do? And by the way, that's the way you train your new believers that you have, that you're trying to help grow. You take them a little step at a time. All right, now wait a minute. Here's what takes place. He said, launch out just a little bit. All right, as they launch out just a little bit, that might be all they'll ever do. Even though the Lord comes and says, launch out into the deep, they may say, no, not going to do it. This is all I can ever see God doing in my life. This is it. I can't see God doing anything bigger than this in my life. Now I say it's according to your faith. It's according to your obedience that's operative by your faith. And so if you see that God could use you in a bigger fashion, then I believe with all my heart, as you step in obedience according to your faith, by the way, it's not just faith alone. Faith without works is dead. So you got to have the faith and then you put the work to it. Come on. Well, I really believe God's going to use me as a great soul winner. He never will unless you go. I believe that I can lead thousands of people to Christ. Unless you talk to a couple thousand more, you're never going to lead 1,000 people to Christ. I really believe that God could use me to preach the word. One day God's going to give me a big church. Well, what are you doing to the 5 bus kids that you have right now? Unless you're practicing what you say you're going to do in the future, unless you're taking care of the little that God gives you right now, God's not going to trust you with more. See, God invests in a good investment. Somebody says, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to be the next Carl Hatch. Would help if you'd open your mouth as much as he did. I'm saying tonight, thank you, gentlemen, be seated. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, and when they had this done, it says, they enclosed great multitude of fishes that their net singular break. Look at verse 7. The Bible says, and they beckoned on to their partners, which were in the other ship. That's like another church. So they're calling out to the other church. Now, here's what happens. The Bible says, and they beckoned on to their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came, and they filled both ships so that they began to sink. Wouldn't it be so great? Now, wait a minute. Where did it all start? Let me tell you where it started. Here was guys. They were discouraged. You could tell they were discouraged. They'd given up. They had fished all night and caught nothing. So they're sitting on the side of the lake and they're washing their nets, discouraged. The Lord comes along, stands in front of Simon and says, Simon, get to your ship. After he gets to the ship, the Lord comes and he sits in the ship and he teaches the people. He turns to Simon. He says, thrust out just a little. And after he thrust out a little bit, he says to Simon, now here's what I want you to do. Launch out into the deep. And by the way, it will be according to your faith and your obedience, coupled with that faith whereby you work, that God will bless your endeavors and your effort. That's in child rearing. That's in marriage. That's in your finances. That's in your personal disciplines. That's in the things that you do in your life. You have got to decide to put effort in it in order to get a product out of it. Anything you do is going to take work. How many of you have ever figured that out? If you figured out tonight that in order to get something out of something, you got to put something in it, would you raise your hand, please? All right, now wait a minute. So if you want to have a good teenager, you got to put more into them. If you want to have a good Sunday school class, you got to put more into it. If you want to have spiritual friends, you got to put more into them. If you want to take and have a good marriage, you got to put more into it. It's not something that passively you can just get by letting, if you will, please, somebody do whatever they want, whenever they want, however they want. It's got to be structure. It's got to be form. It's got to be help. It's got to be definition. It's got to be a direction. Anybody that knows anything about building anything for God or having a great marriage or having kids that have a desire to do anything for Jesus Christ, it takes time. Here's what it says. The Bible says, and they beckoned their partners, which was in the other ship, that they come and help them. And they came and they filled both the ships so that they began to sink. Verse 8, the Bible says, and Simon Peter saw it and he fell down at Jesus' knees. Watch what it says, saying, depart from me. I am a sinful man, O Lord. Why was he sinful? Did he go bar hopping that night? Is that why it was sinful? Was he sinful because he got mixed up and living an adulterous life or was involved in porno or was involved in some dark, deep, hidden sin? Is that why he was sinful? No, he was sinful because he knew what was right to do and chose not to do it. We become sinful when we know that God has spoken to our hearts about something and we say, God, I'll do it my way. God, I want to have my will involved. The happiest person sitting in this room tonight is somebody that's completely surrendered to Jesus Christ. That's the happiest person. Now watch this tonight and I'm done. Here's what the Bible says. Here Simon Peter falls at Jesus' knees and said, depart from me. He said, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. And he was astonished, watch it, and all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. So everybody was astonished. By the way, are you listening to me? You don't obey God all the way. Stay with me. I want to encourage your heart. But if you obey God just a part of the way, that's better than somebody that doesn't obey God in any way. So just a part of the way is somewhat of a great testimony, especially in the eyes of people that don't do anything. Hello. Watch this and I'm done. Verse 10. The Bible says, and so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee. It says, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Here's what he says. He says, by the same token that you obeyed me and I filled your nets full, is by the same token that I'll fill your nets full of men, I'll make you the soul winner that you ought to be if you follow the same direction that I give you today. Hello? I wish that I could be able to go soul winning a whole lot more than I do. I wish that I was a pastor in Union City. We didn't have a Christian academy. Here we have two. We didn't have a Bible college, and I was able to go out quite a lot because I didn't have a lot of the responsibility. I didn't have as many people that I counsel as I have here, and I wasn't checking up on as many people as I presently check up on here. And boy, I was able to go out, and I hit a good 2 hours every single day and soul winning. And boy, that church began to grow, and as it began to grow and begin to take off for Christ, did you know that I found myself being constrained? Now, I'm constrained. I was in my office, and we're trying to develop a program that will help new members in the church to grow in addition to the discipleship program. So I had Brother and Mrs. Butler come in, and they were in the adult discipleship program tonight. And I said, look, I need you in my office more than I need you in here, and so please come with me. I want to run some ideas by you, and I want you to sit, and I want you to listen to me as I put down some things on paper. And I just need somebody to give me a good ear. And so I went in there and started talking about it. I've already talked to several people about this individually. And so I brought them in and started talking to them about this. I said, look, I just need you to give me a good ear. And I said, you know, boy, something like this really could help people. And we always ought to be looking for ways to help people. We went out to eat today, as we normally do on a Sunday afternoon. And so we went out to eat, and we came back in. Mrs. Wells, Jared was not feeling well. He's running a fever today. And so we waited on him to get off the bus route. Miss Wells took him home so that he'd be able to lay down and rest a little bit. And so Mrs. Wells, Rebecca, and Jared went home for a little bit. And I was there in my office. And boy, I had the sermon to work on for tonight to be able to finish it up and try to get it completely done, kind of putting those last touches on it, as you might know, as a preacher does often. And so I was finishing that up, and I was just thinking, boy, if I could just turn loose for about 2 hours today. Just turn loose for about 2 hours and go out in the neighborhoods and just start knocking doors and chasing people down. But then I had to prioritize. Do I study for the sermon or do I chase people? And I thought, well, if I chase people, it's going to be a very short service tonight. Some of you would like that. But I thought, if I go out and I chase people, I'm not going to be able to give them much tonight. I'll get up and read a scripture and say, here's what God says, and amen, let's pray and go home. By the way, you'll never have a service like that here. But I thought, I can't do it. Can't do both. But may I say, everybody could do something. And everybody could be challenged to do a little bit more than the something they're presently doing. And when it comes to faith promise giving, where you look inside of your heart and say, okay, am I doing my part to be able to make sure that somebody gets the gospel somewhere? Brother Bulkley and Brother Paliwathu arriving back from India, you saw the pictures, heard the testimony, 299 people saved. If they hadn't have gone, I don't know if that would have happened. We have invitations on my desk right now, to 19 different countries around the world. Personal invitations from pastors that say, we want a soul winning leadership conference. Will you send someone? Will you send someone? We'll get the preachers. We'll get the college students. We'll get in the public schools. We'll get in the governments. Would you just send someone so that somebody can come and train us how to be personal soul winners? May I say, there's a great need that you could be a part of if you wanted to do that, if you felt led of God to do that. And there's a great need to be able to support missionaries so that they can get out there and they can. Now, you can't do it all by yourself. I can't do it all by myself, but we ought to have a burden that says I want to. We ought to have a desire that says I have a craving to. We ought not lose that desire. And I think sometimes, and let me just preach to you for a minute here on this. I think sometimes we come to church, and I'll be honest with you, we get so lethargic about it. You know, we come to church, we sit down, and it's like, okay, let's hear what he's got to say. It's almost like, hey, preacher, get me if you can. But I want you to know I'm out of reach right now. And we kind of sit back and say, well, I tell you what, I am just kind of coasting and I'm enjoying my ride. Well, may I say, no Christian ought to coast, and I don't care what church you go to. Look, shame on you tonight if you know how to lead somebody to Christ, but you've not been soul winning in 1 week. More shame on you if you know how to lead somebody to Christ and you've not been in two or three or four. More shame on you if you've not been in months. You say, well, preacher, you don't understand. I'm scared to be able to talk to somebody. That's what the Holy Ghost is for. God wants you to rely on. You can't do it by yourself. Man, I've gone up, Brother McCarty, and I've knocked on a door, and I forgot who my partner was. Forgot their name. Talk about embarrassing. Hey, I'm Pastor Wells, and this is my friend. He's a good member of our church, outstanding in his testimony. His name is... Hey, what's your name? It's embarrassing. You get out there and you're going to have some embarrassing moments. You're going to have times when you get out there and you think, ha, 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 it's just a little chihuahua. That little chihuahua can't hurt me. But then it's followed by one of these big Doberman pinchers. Now all of a sudden you feel led to run and leave your partner there to fight off the beast. Hey, you're going to have some embarrassing moments. You go to give somebody a track and you reach in your pocket only to find out you handed all of them out and you give them a 3x5 card. Embarrassing moments. You get out there and after you get out there you find out that you have two pens and neither one of them work. You left your New Testament. You forgot your license. You locked your keys in your car and you're in the middle of a neighborhood that nobody wants to live in. You're going to have embarrassing moments. You get out there and, you know, you forget to put gas in the car and you get out there and you run out of gas. You look at your partner and you're embarrassed. Hey, things are going to happen. What do you do? Here's what you do. You just decide you're going to take it as is, and you just decide you're going to do your best because you're not perfect yet and you've not arrived. But at least you try to give it your best. See, God's not expecting you to be somebody different, but God wants you to be all that he created you to be. God's not expecting you to become somebody different or somebody, if you would please, other than who he created you to be. But he definitely has a purpose for your life. And a part of that purpose is the living out that testimony that God has given you when he saved you from a devil's hell and helping you to understand the significance of showing somebody else how to be saved so that they don't have to go to hell. So now what can I do? I can simply obey Christ. And as I obey Christ, God will bless me because he says he will.
Thank you for listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church, you can visit us online at pbcmesquite.org. Or if you're ever in the Dallas, Texas area, we'd love to have you come visit our church.